say that not just as a for the sake of words, but it's been a real encouragement. We've seen a lot of things and been lifted up, and we yesterday got to get up to Riverhead and see the Great Commission being carried out by Long Island Baptist Church, and seeing other churches planted in Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. And so we just praise the Lord for all of that. This morning, our topic is the faith promise. All right, we're going to put an emphasis on the faith part today in our lesson, and then tie that together. But you know, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, one of those well-known verses, but the phrase is, the just shall live by faith. We all know that. That particular phrase is used four times in Scriptures. Now, when God repeats something, it means it's important. When He repeats it twice, wake up and listen. I mean, you know, it's not just important, but you better listen. If He repeats it three times, meaning four times altogether, I don't know if I can find anything else that, ranks with that. But that phrase is used that many times. And of course, we understand, faith, for by grace you are saved through faith and salvation and so forth. But we're talking now about the Christian life. And, when we talk about faith, we could call that the school of faith. And you know, when you, in education, for those who are teachers or at least familiar with this, but you have what's called scope and sequence. If you're not familiar with that, it just is a phrase having to do with any particular course of study and the preparation of it. And the scope is just the content. You know, what is this course all about? I took a lot of courses in college, I want to know what this thing is about. But then there's a sequence. In other words, there's an order in which you do these things and study these things in order to gain and understand this content. There's a course of study by which that is done. And could look at faith that way in the Christian life, the school of faith. When we get saved, of course, it's by faith. But really what we do is we enter into the school of faith because we are growing as we go. And so it is a vital topic. So we're just going to basic points, but we need to be reminded of some things so that we keep things in perspective. But Hebrews chapter 11, of course, a great faith chapter in the Bible. But if you look there in chapter number 11, it tells us right off what you could call the scope. If you're talking the scope and sequence in the school of faith, the scope is right there where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Kind of defines faith and puts it in perspective, really in two areas in which faith is applied. And that is when the substance of things hoped for, that has to do with future. It's that which is coming. All right. And we have confidence in the things that have been promised because God has said it. And yet it is not here yet. It is future. So it's faith because it's not here yet chronologically. And then it says the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's the invisible. That can be at the present time. But there's much that we don't see. The eyes, the ears and so forth. And we believe it. We act upon it. We live by it because we know God has said it. Well, that's faith. See, we're trusting and depending upon what God has told us about these things concerning the future, concerning the things we don't see. So we live a very interesting life as God's people. You know, the world depends on what they can see. And a young man years ago said to me, well, if it can be proven, or I can see evidence of these things, then I'll believe. Well, you know that doesn't work. You can have all the evidence in the world, and that doesn't convince someone. I mean, it may convince them. It may convince them that something is true. But see, that's not faith. That's not faith. And he doesn't realize that. In the end, you're going to deal with things you can't see and things that are yet future. And you're not going to prove that in the way that we think of proving it. It will be proven in the outcome of what God has said and that God accomplishes it. So anyway, Hebrews 11:1 sort of gives us that scope of things. But we got to understand this. You know, the world lives on and trusts on things like wishful thinking and positive thinking. And there's value to, if you're just thinking that the sky's falling every day, you're going to live like that. I mean, it can affect you. It can have an impact on you. So it isn't that there isn't any value in some way, but that is not faith. Just, positive thinking. It goes so far as to almost be a religion where people think, well, if I just think positive, I think positive, you're going to make things happen that way. Well, that's like a religion. That's trusting in something, and it's trusting in ourselves. And that's not faith. Biblical faith, and that's a good phrase, biblical, because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It always comes back to the Scriptures. It comes back to what God has said. So those are basic points. So we're taking what God has said, and we're applying to that which is future and that which is not seen. And then we're, of course, the first step is believing that that is true. But that can just be an academic thing. We can be convinced that it's true. But the real faith comes when then those things that we now know and true impact us, and we actually then begin to act upon it. And that we could call walking by faith, all right, which is where we get into the sequence of faith, you know, the scope of faith and the sequence of faith. And as we said, it starts with salvation, for by grace you're saved through faith, all right? And but once a person has been saved, growth begins. It's not a stagnant thing. Faith has to move along, and as it moves along, it also has to grow. And, you know, as we look at our Christian life, we should be thinking in terms, in those kind of terms, that we want to go higher, the bottom line. We want to be headed for the mountaintop. I always love the mountains. That's kind of like my, if you call it, you know, somebody asked me, well, where would you just like to, if you could just plant yourself somewhere from a human perspective? I mean, I want to be where God has me and where God wants me, and that's what is important, and that's what we've done. All right? But the truth is, where God sent us and where God has used us was the opposite of anything I ever wanted. Because in my life, when I grew up, it's like I always wanted to go west. I grew up in Moline, Illinois. Well, west of the Mississippi River was, well, there was Iowa over there. I wasn't too thrilled with that. But, you know, but beyond that, you know, Nebraska and finally Colorado. I remember the first time I went to Colorado, saw the Rocky Mountains. And, well, it was love at first sight. All right? And I've always been connected with the Rocky Mountains and Rocky Mountain National Park, just sort of like my backyard. I know that. I mean, you put out a geographic map there of Rocky Mountain National, and I know every trail, and I know, you know, where these mountains are, and I can name them. And it's just that way. It's one of those things I like. But something about the mountains always intrigued me, and I just had that, like many, you know, you see something up there like that, man, I'd like to get up there. I think they get up on top. And it's just something that draws you to, and I, you know, it's the adventure of going up there. And what you see when you get up there, you can see something better than that. Go up in a plane if you want. It's not just the view. It's the fact of having the effort and the challenge and everything of getting there is a lot of it. And it just sort of is a challenge and a motivation. And but, you know, the Christian life ought to be more than that. You know, I mean, we get motivated about things like that. You know, to climb a mountain somewhere or get up on top of something or to take on a challenge and do it. But, you know, the things of God, are they not more important? It's the way we ought to view our Christian life. We want to grow in faith, grow in faith. And one thing I learned about going up in the mountains, you know what? You had to prepare and you had to put out effort. And it was not a simple thing. Particular mountain I climbed years ago, and I've always wanted to go back up, and it doesn't look like it's probably going to happen. You know, there's limitations that somehow set in, you know, when you're 63 years old, but I don't know. And but that mountain is 14,000 feet, you know, and the hike itself, you could drive up to about 9,000 and you start the hike. Well, you know, vertical change in elevation is over 5,000 feet. That's getting close to a mile. And then the trail itself. This is not hiking on a trail. I mean, you get under rocks and scrambling and all kinds of things. But, you know, years ago, I made it to the top. And I tell you, it was not easy. And it wasn't just because it was a steep climb. There was that aspect. But, you know, the oxygen got thin. And actually, the first time I went up the mountains, I got horribly sick. Didn't know what it was at that time. And I was stupid. First went up in the mountains, didn't know anything. We did, oh, let's just go, you know. And there's an issue of oxygen. You got to have enough oxygen. If you wear that out, oxygen deprivation, man, you get sick. That was a horrible night. And but I learned those things. So in the future, whenever I'd go back there, you know, I knew about how to hike and the pace that you kept. And I even eventually bought these little oxygen bottles, you know, the little spray cans, and I would use those. And you say, what's all this got to do with anything here? Well, the point is that, you know, as I said, Christian life, going up the mountain of faith, it's a challenge. We've got to learn things and then we've got to apply things. Whenever I went, was going to be hiking, doing one of those hikes, I would do a lot of preparation, a lot of running and different things, because you wanted to be physically in shape as well as, you know, preparing in the sense of knowing how to hike in higher altitudes. A lot of things went into that. It was more than just a, you know, simple process. And the Christian life is like that. We got to look at things that will help to build our faith and then exercise those things as we go along, because faith is a sequential thing, or rather a growing type of thing. Here's some phrases we find in the Bible. Romans 14:1 used the phrase weak in the faith. No, we don't mean weak in the faith. In fact, it goes even lower than that. In Mark 4:40, Jesus said, no faith. You know, there's no faith. There's weak faith. Matthew 8:26, Jesus mentioned little faith. Well, it's getting somewhere, but, you know, it's not very complimentary. And then in Matthew 15:28, great is thy faith, Jesus said. And so there's different levels, you see, how you live your Christian life. There's decisions you're going to make and things that you're going to do. They're either going to build your faith or they're going to hinder and bring down your faith. And we make those decisions. Luke 17:5, the disciples came to Jesus. They said to him, increase our faith. Now, Jesus let them know there that, you know, it's not your faith that really makes the difference. It's interesting, his answer to them. That's where he talked about faith as a grain of mustard seed. And it's interesting because they said, increase our faith. And he said, you know, if you had this much faith, you could do just, you know, anything. Why? Well, you know, it isn't the quantity of our faith. It's the one in whom we have faith. And that's the point. Faith is never, if we think that, if we think just believing things is going to accomplish things, we have missed it. We've just become secular. We're dealing with positive thinking. What we're dealing with is God and our relationship with Him. And so we have to know what God says. We have to understand the things that God says. And so one of the first steps is, of course, just learning what God says. If you're going to increase faith, you're going to have to know the book. You're going to have to learn what God says, what He promises about different things, so that we can take those things and then begin to accept them and then to begin to apply them. To accept them and to apply them. That's the exercise which then builds faith. Because as we see that when we take what God says, act upon it, and what happens is exactly what God says, then you see our faith is increased in the sense that we're more confident constantly. As we walk that road, we're going to be more confident in the things that God says. Now, one of the areas in our life in which we begin to exercise faith after we get saved, and of course baptism, and now in a church, a body, as a member of a church, and we come to faith with financial giving. I mean, the work of God exists, and you know, we come here today, we sit in a building, it's nice and it's heated, and this is a blessing. I mean, Pastor Graff was talking about, you know, over there in Bangladesh and so forth, conditions and everything, and what the churches have over there and what they don't have. And pretty phenomenal how in the conditions they meet in. You know, so it is really a blessing to come and to be in nice facilities and enjoy what we enjoy. But all of it costs. And that's just the beginning. I mean, that's just the facilities in which the church body meets. But, you know, then there's the work which has to be carried out. And that work is, of course, universal or global in scope. And giving is very much a part of the Christian life from the very beginning. And, you know, when it comes to giving, you know, we go to restaurants and the tab comes at the end there, the ticket, you know, and check. And we look it over and, you know, we'll add 10 or 15% onto that, you know, when we actually pay it or leave it on the table or depending on how you do it. And it's called a tip. It's, you know, just a thankful donation to a waiter, waitress or something like that. They did a good job, you know, and we give them a little bit extra. That makes their day and we're appreciative. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to do. But, you know, some people treat their church sort of that way. They make a little donation here and there. Now, that's better than not making any donation. That's better than nothing. But and it takes a little bit of faith to give. You say, well, if I give something away, I have a little less. So in some measure, there's a little bit of sacrifice involved in that. but how much is there really? It's a known entity. It's like, well, I have this much, and I know I have this much, and so I can give that much, and I still know what I have, and everything's fine. You know, we got it calculated out, and we can go forward in that. That's base level. All right. Biblical giving to church, of course, begins with the tithe. Now, the tithe is 10%. And the Bible talks about that, and it also gives promises about that. The well-known verse of Malachi 3:10 about giving the tithe, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I shall not open the windows of heaven, pour out you out a blessing. It shall not be room enough to receive it. A tremendous, tremendous verse. A promise and a command and everything wrapped up in it. And that's for God's people. And so in the church, the tithe, and that takes a little more. Because now we're looking at something and saying, man, you know, when a person is first saved and they come to grips with that, you know, they're not used to that. I said, man, 10%? I know there's very few people that are living and have an income that feel like, man, I got so much more than I could ever use. There's no one, no matter what level of income, they always feel like they have less than that they could really need. They're always kind of nervous. And poor or rich, it doesn't make any difference. That's just mankind, is the way we look at things. And so all of a sudden we get told 10%, boom, gone. I'm going to live on 90%. I was having trouble at 100%. So there is a step of faith there. Well, it's faith because, see, God said do this. He gives a promise related to it and so forth. But we've got to take what God says and we've got to act upon it. That's faith, see, because it's scripture. It's biblical. And so we move forward on that. And praise God, when a Christian does that early in, it should be right in their Christian life early on, because it will make a big difference. Because they'll see, as any of us who tithe through the years, you know, I've been saved since 1975. And it was, you know, not long after that, in that first year there, where I got in baptized and I began to give my donation, you know, started with that. Oh, tithing. Oh, that's a different thing. And all right, you know. It was better for me. I was a single man then and so forth. You have a family. Of course, it poses a little bit more of a challenge. But the point is, you began to give, began to tithe. Well, that's been my whole life. That's never ceased. I've tithed my whole life. Well, you know, I haven't done this. Maybe somebody has. You know, it's probably better we don't. But if we sat down and just calculated out, well, how much has our tithe been for our life since we started tithing? And if we looked at that amount, we'd say, whoa. Would not like to have that little pot today. Well, you know what? The choice between having that given to us or having that available right now, in other words, that we never gave it and we just saved it and it's sitting here, it would be near worthless compared to what God has done, because we have trusted Him and believed Him and went ahead and tithed the way He said to do. See, God has taken care of us all the way through. Hey, well, we don't have, you know, we can look around in our lives and say, well, I don't exactly have a lot of assets and all kinds of things. And, you know, but the thing is, it's always been that way. And we've never done without, because it isn't the visible that we've depended on. We've trusted the Lord and followed Him. And He has provided and provided and provided and provided. And as that has gone on, we've learned, it's like it's just almost natural in a sense. But when you really stop and think about it, it's like, well, that's kind of crazy to live that way. Well, living or walking by faith. Yeah, the world thinks it's pretty crazy. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you should live foolishly or whatever. But the point is, as we follow the Lord and the things He puts before us, you know, we have to begin to take those steps. Well, tithing is just a beginning when it comes to giving. It goes beyond that. And in the practical way, then, we want to look at this thing of the faith promise, which your pastor has taught about that. And I trust that everyone here is, you know, the basics of that. I know here's the faith promise cards. I'll be dealing with these later. And it says here, I'm going to read this. It's right in front of me here. It says, in dependence upon God and by His help, I will endeavor to give each week toward the worldwide mission program of Long Island Baptist Church. This has to do with missions, and it has to do with giving on a regular basis. It could be weekly or monthly. You know, I mean, some people paid by the month or whatever. Those are, you know, you just work that out. But anyway, it tells you what to do about this. It says it's voluntary. Faith promise mission offering is given in obedience to the command of Christ. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we want to tie those things together and realize how this all fits together, what the promises of God are. First of all, this is different than the tithe, because the tithe is commanded of God. and to not tithe, even though it's faith to believe God and to do it, it's also because it's a command. If we don't do it, it's actually disobedience. All right? Whereas this type of giving here, you determine yourself before the Lord what God would have you to do. And, you know, this is where our faith now has a chance to be exercised, because we don't have to do this. We're obligated to do this in the sense like the tithe, where it's commanded. But yet, if we don't do it, we, of course, are robbing ourselves of really seeing God at work in our lives. Faith promise involves faith. So we're trusting God for something. Now, when we do that, you know, say, for instance, we do it this way by the week, whatever we commit before the Lord, what we're saying is, I believe you do it on an annual basis, is that correct? So on this annual basis, you're saying, well, I'm going to give so much per week this year. So you're not just making a donation this week, but what you're saying is, I'm going to trust God concerning this giving for the rest of this year. Now, let me ask you, do we know the future? You know what's coming tomorrow or next week or next month? I mean, we have an idea. You know, we base on certain things. You know, well, tomorrow, you know, I got to go to work and all this and that. Well, maybe. We don't know what may happen. Maybe the company will shut down, go bankrupt. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or through the course of this year. And yet we're saying today, I'm going to give this. Well, we're really putting things on the line here with God. We've got to be walking with the Lord. This is very important. We want to be to do this with an attitude of prayer and seriousness, because we don't want to go promising before the Lord that we're going to do something and then not do it. But see, things may change in 6 weeks or in a month or in a couple of months. And the fact is, it probably will. You say, well, why? Why do you say that? Well, there's two things about, you know, giving. Let me give some promises just from the Bible concerning giving. We know the one in, Luke 6:38, well-known verse about giving. This is giving in general, and very important when we're looking at, because it's not just tithe giving here, but the whole concept of giving. I think it's 6 verse 38, is that correct? Yeah, where Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Now that is in a sense a... you know, in life, there's a general principle with people that if you're a giving person, you know, it kind of turns around and people help you. So that's on just a physical level. But, you know, there's a much higher application of this as we think about it. You know, when we give as unto the Lord, I mean, we're not giving to man. We're giving as unto the Lord for God's work. So therefore, it's God that we're dealing with. Now, do you think the principle is going to be any less when you're dealing with God? Do you think God is going to be less faithful than mammon and what people in general are? I mean, people who do nice things for you, if you're a giving person, people will kind of be nice to you and you'll get some favors sometimes back from people. And, you know, that's just in general in life. You know, we live that way. We're talking about God, and we're talking about trusting God and having faith that he will provide as we go forward in this promise unto him. So all of these elements are connected in with this faith promise thing. And it is connected. That is a promise aspect of it. But there's another verse that we can really make an interesting application with that maybe we don't think about often. And that's Matthew 6:33. Again, well-known verses. But let's really think about them, because we've got to act upon biblical principles and scriptures. And that's what will give us, that's where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not just what we are to believe that we learn from the word of God, but rather by being in the scriptures, learning the scriptures. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit's book, and the Holy Spirit works within us. that faith is built. Faith is encouraged and born within us as we are consuming God's word. And so, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that whole passage talks about the provisions of life and God promises. He said, I take care of, you know, this and that and the other in such a wonderful way. You see the beauty of nature and the way that God provides. And he said, are you less than this? And he says, the bottom line is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And there are many ways we can apply that. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. We realize that's our, you know, putting our scripture life and so forth, our Christian life first and foremost as we go forward. But there's a very, very definite application that we can make if we think about this. For seeking the kingdom of God. The Bible says, Jesus said himself in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the very Great Commission itself, as it goes forth, we're taking the gospel to a lost world. And as we have gone to the Czech Republic, for instance, you saw in slides and videos, you know, this week, if you were here, you saw faces and heard voices of people who have been saved. Well, they were lost people. They were atheists. They were this and that and the other. And they, because of the scriptures, because of the word of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, they came to a place of real conversion. Their lives have been altered and changed permanently. And what has that done when it comes to, if we think, the kingdom of God? Well, that has been, that you see, in going there and reaching these people, this is seeking the kingdom of God. This is building. This is adding to. This is, you know, whatever way you want to phrase it. But the point is, it is directly connected with this. That's what we're doing. That's this great commission is to go out and do that. And not only, of course, to see them saved, but then to be baptized, become part of a church, and to see churches established. And, you know, and so what greater work can there be than the Great Commission when it comes to, you know, seeking the kingdom of God? Well, that's the work that we're called to do. That's what churches are to do. Faith promise is the allowing the church to be involved and to help in that whole process. Wherever it is, whether it's in Bangladesh or Pakistan or Czech Republic or South Africa or wherever it may be, your giving, the faith promise giving, is channeled and funneled into that very thing. And these are the things about which God has made promises and God has given commands. And that's the work that we are to do. And there's the promises then that relate to personally to the giving, that as we give, it'll be given unto us. God will provide for us. That's what we're having to depend upon. So what happens is in the area of the faith promise, there's levels of faith that are going to be involved in this. And that depends on our individual circumstance, of course. You know, we have a salary, we have an income, we have a financial situation in our individual life. And that's going to vary from person to person, family to family. So you're going to take a look at that and you're going to say, okay, here's what we have. Here's what we don't have, okay? And your faith promise is coming from this here, all right? In other words, you're not looking at, well, how much do I have and how much can I calculate that, all right, if we do the budget here, I can get by without this much here. All right, well, we can survive if we do that much. There's faith involved in that, but it's a very low level. But what you're really saying is you're still looking. We're looking with the eyes, right? We're not walking by faith, but we're walking by sight. We're saying, well, this is what I have, and I can do this much, and okay, we calculate it out. And that's walking by sight. Now, it can be generous, it can be helpful, it could be very generous. But if you have it, is it so big of a thing that you're generous with what? If you're generous with a lot and you give what seems to be a lot, it's really not that big of a thing. It's not the widow's mite, as we read in Scripture, at all. And but we can do that in a different way and begin to look at it and say, you know what? I want to give in such a way that I'm really going to have to trust God. And does that not honor God more than anything else? That we actually are trusting Him and we're at His mercy. Because that honors, that's when you put God in first place. And say, Lord, I'm dependent on you. The primary work that we are called to do is exactly what we're emphasizing this week in a missions conference. The command to a church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And every church has that command to carry that out. And they send missionaries, they support missionaries, they work and provide, you know, scriptures and all the different things that are involved in that process. But the idea is beyond us, out there, to the uttermost part, we have to be involved in doing that. And that is the number one job. That is it. And so what we're doing is we're saying, I'm making that priority, my priority in my personal life as I'm a part of this church. And I'm going to trust God now so that it is a matter of faith for me in my life. I'm going to have to trust Him as I give my giving. So it's going to be beyond what I have calculated out, you know, and jot and tittle and everything else and every penny. But I'm going to look at it from the perspective of I'm going to pray. I'm going to let God. I'm going to do something that I'm going to have to trust God with. So how great is our faith? Well, we'll determine that. And we need to have peace about what it is we're committing to the Lord and doing. But we don't want it to be by sight. We want it to be by faith, which is the trust in Him. You know, we talk about the sequence of faith. You see how this moves into different arenas and different levels? And because the faith that we're talking about here is of a greater nature, the potential of God's blessing spiritually for us, of course, is far greater. I emphasize spiritually because we have to be careful. There are promises, you know, about God's provision and so forth. But those aren't the only promises of the Bible. And the only things that we learn. Remember, we need all of Scripture so that we make decisions based upon what God has said. We need to realize something. James 1:3 talks about the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. Now, wait a minute. I thought if we have faith, man, everything's just wonderful and good. Well, if we just took a couple of things of Scripture, we could come up with a prosperity gospel here this morning. And I could tell you that, well, if you just give all your money, you're going to be wealthy like you never imagined. You know, we could pump that and we just kind of isolate those couple of principles, you see, in what we call eclectic. I think you choose this and that and the other, and you build a doctrine which in reality is a false doctrine, even though it uses some Bible verses. And that's what people do. And we don't want to do that this morning. We're not going to sit up here and say, you know, oh, give and it shall be given unto you, man. You're going to be rich if you get involved in the faith program. This, you know, really, you check that top box up there, you know. Actually, take the one with the line, all right, where there isn't even a number there. And then write that big number in there. Man, I'm going to give. And because I know that, see, I'm going to believe that I'm going to be rich because of this. Well, what's your motivation? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? If that's the motivation of the heart? You see, if we're doing giving on the basis of what God may give to us, what we may get out of this, do you see how that's backwards? That's a violation of it. That's not seeking first the kingdom of God. That's seeking ourself. That's wicked. We need to put that aside. We need to be aware of some things. And what we're saying here is, you know, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Does our faith ever get tried? Well, obviously, if it has verses like that, faith does get tried. And I'm talking about different areas, not just giving, but all the areas of which faith applies. So your faith will be tried. Do you think if we give faith promise to such a degree that we are trusting God, we have the promise of God taking care of us, but that doesn't mean that, oh, it's just going to be smooth sailing. What will happen in this is that the faith will be tried. Should God so choose, He can cause that and allow, rather, that as we go through this process, all of a sudden, 6 months from now, hey, our financial situation starts to change. There's some problems coming in here. And all of a sudden, the amount that we were giving back here, which was had with it a certain amount of sacrifice, down here, that level of sacrifice suddenly grew. And we weren't planning on that. We weren't expecting that. Well, we should be aware and wise as we go this route, not to discourage us, but we should be prepared biblically to realize that faith can be tried. And it's not unusual for God to try our faith. But that's exactly what God is doing. He's trying our faith. Faith, remember, if it's trusting God, then it depends on Him, doesn't it? We really are resting on Him. We really are trusting Him. And if it gets harder to do this, does that not then mean that if we continue to do as we have committed to the Lord, that our trust in Him is that much greater? And does not that, not then that, I can still talk this morning, all right? That means that we are honoring Him that much more, the more that we are tried. Oh, yeah, Job said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me," Job got tried, all right? "I shall come forth as gold." If God does allow that our faith should be tried, we have the opportunity by going through that and continuing faithful that we will come forth as gold. Well, that can have all kinds of application in our life. I mean, the building and the strengthening of our dependency and trust on our Lord. Could there be anything more precious and beautiful in this life? To be able to walk through this life and have such a confidence in our Lord that as the storms and the winds of other situations blow in our life, we have learned we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Do you know the faith promise is a ground for building that kind of faith? It's not just a financial program for the church. All right? It's so much more than that. We have to see it that way. And if we see it that way, then we will get into the arena where we will really be giving in the way God wants us to give. I hope that's the case for each of us here today. And I look forward to what God will do through Long Island Baptist Church in this coming year. And it's faithful giving in this church. And praise the Lord for what this church has done. But I know a little of it. I don't know the circumstance of the church, the financial things people are going through, and economics in America. You know, we live overseas, so thankfully we're out of this. We don't see it all. Maybe it's a tough time. I don't know. Maybe it's a prosperous. Maybe it's a good time. I don't know. But it would be a tremendous, tremendous blessing to hear that this church goes beyond what it has done in the past. May this be the year that this church, just the pinnacle year, the mountaintop year, if you will. Keep that mountain in view. I still do, and I still like my Rocky Mountains, and maybe I'll walk up there one day, preacher. But that's just a picture. That kind of gives me a little visual picture of things that are far more important. That is believing the Lord in faith, in trusting Him. Faith promise. That's what it's all about. Thank you, preacher.